Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
See, God has given us a message to this world that we who are spiritually bankrupt, we who don't have the wherewithal to purchase our ticket to heaven, to eternal life, God has given to us the unsearchable riches of Christ. And when we talk to people about receiving the Lord, and we talk to people about the glories of salvation, I know that there's kind of a reaction in the church these days towards people that, are like too seeker-sensitive, we talk about. You know, people that preach messages about, you know, God really wants to bless your life, and He really loves you. And we go, oh, you got to give Him the bad news before you give Him the good news. And yeah, I'm all over that. You know, unless you know you need saving, you're never going to turn to a Savior, right? Unless you know that all is not well between you and God, how in the world are you going to turn to Him and ask for His forgiveness? How's the cross of Christ going to make any sense to you? But we, in our neck of the church woods, quite frankly, tend to stay more on that dark side of things. We tend to be kind of Jonathan Edwards, sinners in the hands of an angry God, sermons where, you know, we're like a spider on the edge of a thin spider web over a crackling fire, and God's just waiting for a moment to shake us off. And I'm not saying there isn't a place for telling people just what a dangerous spiritual situation we're in, because we are. But if we stop there and we don't tell them what Christ has done for them, if we don't tell them the glories of a relationship that you and I can have with Jesus Christ because of what Christ has done, if we don't go from the emphasis on our spiritual poverty, read bankruptcy, and show people what God has done for them and who they can be when they come to Christ, we're not preaching the whole gospel. We got to give people the whole story. Now, I know when you hear things like the unsearchable riches of Christ, there are probably some of you here tonight going, I don't feel very rich. And maybe God's blessed you, but He hasn't blessed me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just doing it wrong. I just don't understand how you can be so excited about the unsearchable riches of Christ when I just don't really have anything. God hasn't been all that good to me. My lot in life is to suffer, I guess. Well, hold your horses. You know, you're more rich than you know. I believe it was the great 20th century philosopher Joni Mitchell who once said, "Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone?" But I would take that back a step. I would say, don't it always seem to go that sometimes we don't know what we got when it's sitting right in front of us? Do you realize how rich you truly are in Jesus Christ? What God has done for you, the things that God has bestowed on you. You find yourself going, God hasn't been good to me. You know, I point to this passage a lot, and if you haven't put this on a 3x5 card and stuck it on your fridge with a vegetable magnet or on your dashboard, where you can see it on a regular basis. If it doesn't come up on your cell phone screen to remind you, probably should. Because I know I forget about this a lot. And when I remember this, it really is an attitude readjustment. Psalm 103, in verse 3, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits." You want to know how rich you are in Christ? Here's some benefits. Who forgives all your sins. Jesus took your place and paid the price for your sins. He removed your sins as far away from you as the east is from the west. You don't have to bear your sin and guilt anymore. God's forgiven you for all of that. Do you realize how many people spend incredible amounts of money sitting on couches with psychiatrists because they've got a guilt complex? I'll tell you why they got a guilt complex. It's because they're guilty. And they know it. They're desperately trying to find some form of forgiveness. God offers it to you, paid for at the cross of Jesus Christ. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. Well, he ain't healed my diseases. Well, maybe, not yet. But one day, when you stand before the Lord, you're going to have a glorified body that's not going to know any kind of sin or shame or suffering. Pain and sorrow and the afflictions of this life are going to be a receding memory in the rearview mirror of life as we go into glorious eternity. This world where we can, and yes, we do suffer, is just a temporary arrangement for us as believers. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, if God loves me, you know, why am I sick all the time? You know, I don't mean to be a wise guy, but in light of what we have done to God's previously good creation, my question is, why are we healthy at all? Why do you guys ever go through a moment where you're not in racking serious pain? Because God has mercy on us. He heals all your diseases. He ransoms your soul from hell. Now, there's a biggie. You know, if you got nothing else to be excited about today, no, you're not going to hell. That's a pretty interesting thing to think about, isn't it? He ransoms your soul from hell. He paid the price so that you wouldn't have to live in a Christless eternity. Sometimes I think we forget just how powerful that is. But one day we'll understand it. Could you imagine standing before the holy, true, and living God and you're still in your sins? You still got them all over you. God looks at you and says, based on your decision to live life separately from me, you will now have eternity separate from me. And you'll find yourself hustled away by two burly angels who take you to the precipice of this cliff, and you look out before you, and all you can see into the distance is this horrific burning lake of fire. And these two angels pick you up, and they start to go, one, two, and suddenly a voice comes by, stop. What? And it's Jesus. He goes, no, I paid the price for that one. He's not going in. She's not going in. He ransoms your soul from hell. You might not appreciate it now, but I guarantee you, you will. He surrounds you with loving kindness and compassion. You've got a friend in Jesus who sticks closer than a brother. He's not one who can't be touched with the feelings of your infirmities, but one who's been tested in all ways as we are, yet without sin. He surrounds you with loving kindness and compassion. He fills your life with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, so much, I think, of being grateful for what God has done isn't because God hasn't done great things for you and me. It's just we're not paying attention. Or we become jaded. Or we think that because God isn't giving us all of our greeds, he hasn't met all of our needs. But you are a possessor, believer, of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And Psalm 103, verses 3 through 5, great place just to start in all of this. You've got all of these things at your disposal. Paul says, that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to make known the unsearchable riches of Christ. And verse 9 says, and to make all see. You might want to underline that word see. What is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. The intent that now the manifold wisdom of God may be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Now notice, church isn't intended just to be a place where we come to understand that there's this mystery going on. That grace is the great leveler. That grace puts us all in that same place, that we are all part of the family of God. Church is intended to be a demonstration of that. Church is also intended to be a place where people can see that we're being transformed and made over into the image of God. But church is also not just a place where we realize how blessed we are, but it's also a place where we come to understand that you're not going to be fully blessed in Jesus until you learn to give those blessings away. Notice, Paul says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God may be made known by the church. The first thing that God wants to do through the church is to let people see just how good God is. Not hear about it, but see how good God is. How's that going to happen? Well, consider what Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 35. He said, "All men will know you're my disciples if you have love for one another." Church should be the place where non-believers come in and experience God's love. That's the priority. Not necessarily a place where they come in and hear pristine doctrine, although that's important. Not where they go in and have all kinds of wonderful programs and things to distract their kids and so on. No. It should be a place where people don't hear about the love of God, but they see it. God's love served family style is how Chuck Swindoll once defined the church. I think that's a great definition. But understand, it's not just so that the world will see. Notice this incredible statement that is being made here. The intent now that the manifold wisdom of God may be known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. You know, there's a saying that there's more to life than meets the eye, right? That's never more true than in church. Because when the Bible refers to principalities and powers, you know what it's talking about? Angels. Not just kind of, you know, chubby babies floating along blowing trumpets. Principalities and powers indicates that there are majestic, powerful, angelic creatures that are organized by God and conversely organized by the devil and having a battle in this creation. What God does through the church is demonstrate his wisdom and his love to these awesome angelic beings, catch this, through us. Through us. You know, it's funny. When we come to church, you know, some people say, well, how many were in church on Wednesday night? I don't know. I don't count heads, but there's more here than heads we could count. As the Bible tells us in passages like the passage that we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, that angels long to look into our salvation. That angels, according to Hebrews chapter 1, are ministering spirits sent to aid those who will inherit salvation. The principalities and powers of the universe, the spiritual realms, are looking on as we gather together. Why? Because they scratch their heads at how amazing the work of God is in the lives of people. Because they not only understand who we are right now, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the temples, the sanctuaries of the living God, this high and holy privilege that was never given to an angel, but they also have a good idea of what we're going to look like when God's done with the process. The kind of glorious beings we are going to be forever and ever. And so God uses the church not just to impact this world that we can see, but to also impact the world that we can't see. And that's a mind blower. I'm not sure I can wrap my mind fully around that. Verse 11 says, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Notice the other thing that church is all about. It's about ushering people into the presence of God. It's not just about visibly showing the love of God. It's not just about spiritually revealing to principalities and powers what the plan of God is and how God can use funky little dust motes like us for his eternal glory. It's also a place where we can connect with God in a deeper and fuller way than you ever can anywhere else. We have access, we are told, and boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. The word boldness is a really interesting word in the original language. It's two Greek words fused together. It's the word say and anything. Did you realize that because of what God has done, you can say anything to him? You can say whatever's on your heart. Sometimes we think that God won't hear us unless we talk like a extra from a Shakespeare in the Park troupe. Unless we throw a few yees and knees and propitiations into our verbiage, God isn't going to listen. No, the Bible says that God knows what we need even before we ask. That man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart. We have boldness and access through Christ. And this is what the church should be all about. When people come out of a church service, they should have been ushered into the presence of God. The time that we have in God's Word shouldn't be you listening to some, you know, preacher who's gone through the 88,000 illustrations and snappy jokes and quotes, you know, to keep you entertained. No, the goal of preaching God's Word is that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That the Word of God proclaimed is going to make you adequate, equipped for every good work that God has in mind for you. And as you build yourself up on the Word of God, it's not for you to become a spiritual egghead. It is to facilitate a relationship with God. And as we worship, we don't just do worship as a warm-up act for the Word. Worship is pouring out your heart to the true and living God. It is drawing close to Him. It's connecting with Him. And I don't care if your taste in worship runs more towards hymns or choruses. I don't care if you prefer screamo or, you know, you prefer, you know, 60s, you know, balladeer kind of music. It doesn't matter. What matters is the heart that you bring into the presence of God. What matters is you deciding you're going to draw close to Him and that you are going to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Because the whole purpose of church, understand, and I just close with this, the whole purpose that God put the church together is for you and me to come together and demonstrate His love for one another. For you and me to come together, and as that love is shared with one another on a horizontal level, it lifts our eyes to the heavenlies. And as our eyes are lifted to the heavenlies, we don't just behold the Lord, we come running into His loving arms, and we are changed because we've been in the very presence of God. That's what church is all about. Is that what church is all about to you? There's an old saying, if you aim at nothing, you'll always hit it. Why did you come here tonight? What was your purpose? Well, by worshiping, by being in God's Word, by reaching out and sharing God's love, when you leave here tonight, that's when the ministry begins. Because God wants to demonstrate to this world that you've been in the very presence of God. That Christianity isn't just one of the many competing worldviews or ways of looking at life or truth. It is a transforming relationship with the true and living God. How does that work? It's a mystery. It's a mystery why God would save people like you and me. It's a mystery how hearing God's Word and the power of God's Spirit, which we can't see with our eyes or hear with our ears or feel with our hands, how that inner working of the Holy Spirit can change and transform our life. It's a mystery why we won't end up more weird and more touchy and more difficult to get along with as life goes on. But instead, be more like Jesus as life goes on. The church is intended to be a mystery and a miracle. Not a place to fake it till you make it. Not a place where you just kind of look around and say, wow, other people sure seem excited about this. I guess I'll get excited too. No, the church is intended to be a place where you meet Jesus. And Jesus meets with you. And He wraps His loving arms around you and cares for you and encourages you and gives you the boldness to go out and make a difference in your family, in your life, in this world, until He calls us home. Oh, let's rejoice in that mystery tonight. Father, I thank you that you give us in your word this amazing picture of what church is all about. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us for making it less than that. Because sometimes I think we do. I think we settle for so much less than what you would have for us. Lord, what a privilege that we live in a time where you've revealed what your plan is for your people. That your plan is to demonstrate your love by removing all the distinctions, all of the different us's versus them's, no matter how deep they've run, and allow us to be one through the power of your Spirit. I thank you for that. I thank you that just like Paul said, that even though we're least of the saints, you've given us the grace to be able to share with this world that there's a God who loves them and can change and transform their life and make them into a person that is far different than they ever dreamed that they could be. But even more importantly, Lord, we thank you that whether we realize it or not, principalities and powers looking on, that's pretty amazing. But the fact that you, the true and living God, are looking on at what we do and what we say and how we react to one another. Oh God, I just pray you would make that so true in our hearts and our lives. Because if we're accountable to you, that's far more powerful than being accountable to a pastor or another person. If we decide we want to be pleasing to you because you are just as real and present here as if you were standing here physically, man, that's going to make sure that our words aren't just sharp and cutting to other people, that we're going to build them up. God, the fact that you are here, that you are present here by faith, that we get to partake of this miracle, oh Lord, let us realize how insanely rich and blessed we really are. Thank you for this awesome passage in Ephesians. Make it real in our lives now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive. Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then two blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292-9661, 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Jesus, sweet Savior, we want to glorify you.
This program has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.